December 19th, 2020. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. And as always, I'm stuck here in Chicago instead of somewhere in the South Pacific or somewhere nice and warm, sitting under palm trees and watching the ocean. Anyway, I'm glad that you've joined me today at republicbroadcasting.org, where I've been for the last 10 plus years. I hope that you will consider visiting and subscribing to two other websites, and that is SpingolaSpeaks.net and ScreeningSandyHook.net. I hope that you will feel free to email questions during the program to comment or comments at Spingola.email. And I invite you to visit the chat room at spingola.chatango.com. And you know where to review the names of the guests that I've had on previously. That is at spingola.com. And people always ask me about, well, they don't always, but some people ask me, hey, where have you ever interviewed such and such or so and so? And every week I tell people how to find the archives for the programs, and people keep asking. So I don't know whether repetitiveness doesn't work or something. Anyway, or whether repetitiveness is too repetitive to remember. Anyway, we will take calls in the third hour, or maybe before. At 800-313-9443. I have one of my favorite people, one of my favorite guests on the program today. I first interviewed him way back in December 15th, 2010. And his name is Clint Richardson. He's son of Richard. I watched his documentary, The Corporation Nation, and I was just really impressed with it and really impressed with his documentation. And just he's just an impressive person. His website is realityblogger.wordpress.com, and there's just one G in blogger. Anyway, Clint, welcome to the program.
Why, thank you so much. It's good to be back.
Oh, it's very good to hear your voice.
And I always like to hear your voice. You know, it lightens up whenever you start introducing me, and that makes me always feel good.
Well, I didn't want to pour it on too heavy, but it's how it is. You've been to my house. You've had pasta at my kitchen table. You helped me leave the cult, which I am so grateful to you for doing that. I had seriously questioned things for such a long time prior to that, and my whole social life was kind of tied up in it, but I couldn't do it anymore. You either believe something or you disavow it, and you helped me. You changed my life. It was a life changing decision, and I'm glad I made it. And even more glad, given some of the things that have come about in the last couple of weeks, that maybe we'll have a chance to talk about. But what have you been doing? Just hanging out.
Always up to something, right?
Yes. That's what we do.
Well, I've got all this stuff. It's all coming in at the same time because I've done some. I just finished my documentary, which is Lethal Injection 2, which is part one of that because it's going to be about a 30 or 40 hour presentation just on the entire system. And it's not just a vaccine documentary. It's not a, you know, it's everything from, you know, the government side, the university side, the patent side, the you know, just the whole gamut of everything involved behind doctors being the number one cause of death. I mean, I don't know why this is not spoken of more. I know we've spoken about it. I know you're familiar with this. They're listed as the third leading cause of death. They know nothing about vaccines. They're taught nothing about vaccines, or for that matter, any kind of toxicology or anything. They have no idea how what's in the vaccines. I mean, it's just amazing. There's this faith. They talk about a cult. We are all victims of this cult of what we call medicine. And of course, medicine has been corporatized. It's a giant corporation that cares not about health. And so this first 8-hour presentation is, well, I'll put it to you this way. This first presentation is essentially what they do to us. Anyone who gets out of line, anyone who talks and tells the truth, anyone who whistleblows, you know, we're labeled immediately as whatever, you know, if it's it can be you're anti-Semitic or whatever, or it can be you're a conspiracy theorist, or it can be whatever it is. It's always something to assassinate the character. And it's always always fallacious. It never has anything backing it. Just this notion of you're this or you're that, and therefore your message is discredited, right?
Right.
And so I thought about that, and I thought, you know, we don't have that. We don't have a hit piece. We don't have something that can say, you know, because the number one answer I think most people get when it comes to vaccination, when it comes to health, when it comes to diet, when it comes to diabetes, is, well, my doctor says this. It's my MD, my medical doctor says this. And we are generally caught in, you know, like deer in headlights. We really don't know what to say, except why do you trust your doctor? Just because he's got the white coat, you know, that's our best answer. And so I decided to really delve into, to start with, to completely discredit the medical industry. And that's exactly what I ended up doing. By looking into what, you know, what is a doctor? Where do they come from? How do they get their degrees? What is going on here that these people are so entrusted with our lives and our well-being that we were willing to put anything in our mouths or take anything into our veins or into our muscles through injection? What is it about this white coat, this concept of an authority figure? How did that happen? How did this organized crime syndicate and syndicalism of the university systems, how did this become our go-to for health when you've got all these naturopaths and all these people like yourself, in fact, who are doing all this? And what you find is that, for instance, I mean, just to give you one example, the American Medical Association, which, of course, is a union, essentially a private non-government corporation, a lobby, and, you know, they were sued several years ago by the sort of class action thing, if you will, by the chiropractors, because the AMA, the American Medical Association, that represents all those medical doctors, you know, they did this 10-year smear campaign on chiropractors, which is why we all, without even realizing it, we're brainwashed into thinking we should go to the MD instead of the chiropractor. We should go to the MD instead of the nutritionist or the naturopath or any other type of doctor. We somehow think that doctors know everything. And it turns out they know virtually nothing when it comes to these drugs and vaccines that they're prescribing. And everything that they do know pretty much comes from either a special interest group that represents pharma, pharma being the lobbyist group for big pharma, big pharmaceutical companies, or it comes from groups in that are non-governmental organizations in government that basically are pharma reps and really corrupted people. There is no neutral body that is advising on vaccines or advising on drugs. And as we know, the FDA doesn't test drugs. It relies on pharmaceutical companies to do the testing themselves, which, of course, is problematic and a conflict of interest. So all of this, in a much more expanded version, goes into this first part of the documentary, along with other things. But the whole point is, now you have something to present to your family, to present to your friends, to present to anybody who dares argue with you, who are doing the research and who are doing, you know, looking at the science, looking at the studies, looking, and then you just make a conscious decision, a moral decision, a spiritual decision, and a medical decision not to vaccinate yourself or your children. You can now show this to them. And when you see this, there's no way you can come out from that and still have faith in that cult. And when I say cult, a big part of this documentary is looking into this cult of Asclepius, which, you know, the snake wrapped around the single,
right.
That is the symbol of medicine, which has been confused and somehow integrated with the staff of Hermes. And it's real interesting when you go in through the history of that and you look, well, how did that happen? How did the god of death become the god of, you know, god of Hermes? Actually, mythologically, was the god that took people to the underworld, whereas Asclepius was actually killed by Zeus because he was taking people out from the underworld and making them better, giving them health, right? So somehow those two symbols got mixed up along the way. And these doctors are all using the staff of Hermes, the god of commerce, the god of money, or not money, but, you know, the whole history is there. And it's amazing. Yeah, and it is. They actually was the cult of Asclepius, and they used to allow snakes to, you know, in amongst the sick, they used to allow snakes to roam around because they thought snakes were actually a healing creature, basically. And of course, most drugs and most things that they use are poison, and you know, if you lose just a little poison, it can actually help you instead of harm you, and that's basically where all this comes from. It really is a cult. And when I took that, and then I looked at the Hippocratic Oaths, and I said, well, are doctors actually taking the Hippocratic Oath? They're certainly breaking the oath if they're taking it. And it turns out,
they're not.
Big reveal, no one takes an oath. The oath that they do take has no sanctions, it has no punishments if they break it. The oath has been changed, it's been modified, it's been secularized. In other words, you're not making an oath. Every oath you make is to God. It's no other way. Any oath is always to God. It's you're putting your soul on the line. Basically, we're in a situation where we have this cult-like belief in doctors. We believe they take an oath to do no harm, and yet do no harm is not even in the original oath. The oath has been changed to where they can take a life. I mean, the whole thing is just so ridiculous when you see it for what it is, that there's no way you can come out from this and actually have faith in doctors anymore. It's really quite amazing. I mean, it really is. I can't speak to it enough. You actually have to see it to believe it.
Exactly. And you mentioned the taking of life, and I thought about organ extraction, which is taken, the organs are extracted from a live person who has been hasn't been given anything to put them to sleep, but just something to keep them from moving. They are taken from a live body. Your vital organs are no longer viable, taken from a dead body. Your heart, your kidney, it's no good from a dead body. And people are under the assumption that, and they've lined up, that they've been asked at the Department of Motor Vehicle, oh, would you like to be an organ donor? You are signing up for a surgical procedure. You have no idea what you're doing. And who is the Department of Motor V to be asking or talking about this. When you go to a doctor, they at least explain the procedure that they're going to be going through. It's just amazing.
So you have to realize, too, that anytime you're dealing with any type of foreign body, and I mean, this includes when a woman gets pregnant with either, you know, she's positive blood and he's negative blood or vice versa. Uh-huh. They, in order to have that baby, even because the baby, because it's a different blood type, even the immune system fights the pregnancy. It's a foreign, it's not supposed to happen, right? So you get a heart transplant, you get a this transplant, you get a that transplant. The only way that's going to take is if they completely deaden your immune system. They have to take your immune system down to nothing so it doesn't fight off this, you know, foreign tissue. Well, not to mention if it's a different, you know, it has to be the same blood type, obviously. And then, you know, all the diseases that come with that, because it's a foreign entity. Your body is going to, you know, your body's going to go into an immune attack, which is why they have to suppress it, which means it's going to start fighting whatever that organ is. And that means antibodies. And those antibodies aren't going to know the difference between your own organs and what you get in your body.
And most plantees are dead within 5 years because of all the things that occur to them as a result of the organ transplant.
Right. Well, it's an autoimmune response. You become right. your body starts fighting the organ, which is similar to yours, so it starts fighting your organs. Right. It's really simple when you know it's kind of complicated to learn, but once you learn it and you look at the list of autoimmune diseases, I'm sure most people all people that are listening to this, if you've had a vaccine or some other injectable quote unquote drug, you know, you're suffering from one of many autoimmune diseases. If you have arthritis, you're suffering from an autoimmune disease, right? I mean, it's amazing when you look at all of the diseases caused by the medical field, whether that's, you know, this type of allotransplantation, meaning, you know, human to human, or xenotransplantation, which is animal to human, or human to animal, or whatever, insect to human. All of these things are being pumped into our bodies. And of course, your body, the only thing it can do is mount an immune response. It just look, your body is going to mount immune response if you get dirt in your system, right? If somehow dirt gets through your skin into your system, you're going to get an immune response. That is the definition of an adjuvant.
Right.
Right. So, I mean, you really knowing this, and of course I've spent, you know, 15, 20 years studying this, but knowing how that works and knowing how autoimmune disease works and that's what everybody is suffering from in various degrees, you know, what a frustration. Let me give you, you know, we should really speak of this new so-called vaccine,
right?
That's coming out, because there's so much to this that people need to know in order to make an educated choice whether you should get this. Now, you're going to talk to me. I'm going to tell you never to get any vaccine, because the ingredients that go along with that, it's not just a virus in water. You know, it's like thousands of millions and billions of proteins and DNA fragments that they can't filter out and all this stuff. And this thing that they're doing now, it isn't even a vaccine. It's very important to understand this has gone into what can only be called a technology, right? The transhumanist boards are lighting up because they're all excited because, hey, this is the first transhumanist vaccine. This is the first time they're going to actually introduce a virus, RNA, man-made RNA, synthesized RNA in a synthesized environment that's going to go directly into your cells, your proteins, and your DNA and reorganize your DNA. That is essentially what they want to do with transhumanism. All right, so it completely experimental, completely unknown effects about what's going to happen. But I have a little different take on it, and I'm going to tell you right now that if you're a woman, especially, I don't know if it affects men like it would affect women, but I would assume that it would, because it is part of the sexual reproduction system. All right, let me read you a little article. This is from Forbes, November 15th, 2020. COVID-19 compromises sperm count and quality in recovering patients. Now, you think about that statement. Okay, it's unknown, not yet known, whether this could lead to long-term effects on male fertility. My going theory is that COVID is a male contraceptive. It's a male sterilization tool. And that the vaccine is more geared toward a female sterilization tool. And I want to explain why I think that is. Originally thought to mainly affect the respiratory system, researchers now know that the symptoms of COVID-19 are numerous and varied, with the virus affecting several different parts of the body. Now, a new report has added possible detrimental effects on male fertility to the already long list. And the reason for that is because when they made this virus, and if you haven't seen my previous documentary, which is called Wagging the Dog, the story behind the story of COVID-19, this is a man-made virus, admitted by all the people who made it. I even have another panel that a friend of mine has been looking into. Shout out to Matthew if he's listening. Who he found a panel where they said in 2016 that SARS no longer existed in nature. So it is actually impossible for SARS-2. Wow. For SARS-2 to be a natural disease or a natural mutation for that matter, because it didn't exist in nature anymore. Right? So, published in eClinical Medicine, and it said that samples of testes and epididymis, the tube that transports the sperm from the testes from six male COVID patients. Who had died from the disease, and 23 patients who were recovering from mild or moderate cases of the disease, on these samples, comparing them to a control group of healthy men of similar ages and recovering. In the tissue from the men who had died, they found high levels of cells and proteins indicating inflammation, blood in the testes and epididymis, and dying cells. Now, when you have blood or white blood cells in the semen, that is a very good sign that something's wrong, that there's an attack or a disease of the sperm.
Because your T cells, your thymus produces T cells, and it's supposed to help your immune system not be flushed out with the urine.
Exactly. And the men recover from COVID-19. 39% had low sperm counts. So in men recovering from COVID-19, 39% had low sperm counts, despite having previously had at least one biological child through natural pregnancy. Wow. Now the problem with this particular small study is that they didn't test the men before, which makes this a questionable study. But 61% of the men had an increased number of white blood cells in their semen, an indication that sperm function is compromised, and et cetera, et cetera. So there's a broad range of viruses that affect the male reproductive tract, particularly the testes, and this is where the important part comes in. She says certain viruses such as mumps and HIV may cause severe damage and lead to male infertility. Zika virus has also been found to cause infertility in mice. Now, these three diseases are diseases that they have used gain-of-function research, meaning they've mutated in the lab. Zika is certainly a lab-mutated virus. And with the COVID-19, or what we're calling COVID-19 as the symptoms, SARS coronavirus 2 is the real name of it, and they added the HIV spike. spike protein so that it could, in fact, infect humans and not just bat to bat or animal to animal. By doing this in a lab, then they can study if the virus, the coronavirus, mutated in nature, what would it do to humans? You know, so they made the virus, and they admit this, they make the virus infectious to humans by adding an HIV spike to.
Right.
So that HIV spike interconnects and communicates with certain receptors, which just happens to be the one in the testes, the one in the lungs, the one in this, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
All the places that are being affected. Every medication has been an HIV medication designed to block the ACE2 receptors or the CD8 cells. And so you look at the background of every single medication that's been put out for COVID, it's an HIV or has been used for HIV in the past. Even the intramycin or whatever they're talking about now, it was used for HIV, even though it's a parasitic drug. Viruses act very much like parasites. So here we're in a situation where we know, at least in the early stages of any decent type of study, that COVID attacks male fertility. Now, what happens when we look at the vaccine? Now, the vaccine, scariest thing ever, and again, I hate calling it a vaccine because it's really not. It's a technology. I posted this on my blog. Ex-Pfizer head of respiratory research, Dr. Michael Yaden, and lung specialist, former head of the public health department, Dr. Wolfgang Wodarg. I think he was Sweden or one of those countries. They filed an application with the European Medicine Agency asking that the Pfizer and other studies be halted because certain questions had to be answered. And I'm just going to read this because I think this is so extremely important, if you don't mind.
No, please do.
First of all, the formation of so-called non-neutralizing antibodies can lead to an exaggerated immune reaction, especially when the test person is confronted with the real or wild virus after vaccination. So if you get the vaccine and then come across, well, they're saying it's a wild virus, which we know it's not. It's a man-made virus. But the point is, if you get the vaccination for the man-made virus, and then the man-made virus comes along, the so-called antibody-dependent amplification, or ADE, has long been known from experiments with corona vaccines in cats, for example. In the course of these studies, all cats that initially tolerated the vaccination well died after catching the wild virus. So in other words, you get the vaccine, and then you come across someone with, you know, you get the virus, however it's spread, because you have antibody-dependent amplification, which is what this is designed to, this so-called vaccine is designed to do. You will, if you're a cat anyway, you're going to die because it amplifies the virus itself. So you can't really call it a vaccine, can you? The vaccines are expected to produce antibodies against spike proteins of SARS-2 coronavirus 2. Remember, those are the same as you know, those are the HIV spike proteins we're talking about that were gain of function added to the virus. However, spike proteins also contain... So let me be clear. The vaccine is expected, the RNA mixes with your DNA, and your body will then produce antibodies against spike proteins. That's the so-called goal. Spike proteins also contain sensitin homologous proteins, which are essential for the formation of the placenta in mammals such as humans. So If, in other words, I'll finish. It must be absolutely ruled out that a vaccine against SARS-CoV-2 could trigger an immune reaction against Synthesin 1, spelled SYNCYTIN 1, as otherwise infertility of indefinite duration could result in vaccinated women.
All righty. We'll take a break right here. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app,
starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be.
All righty, welcome back. Our guest is Clint Richardson, and we are we're being educated about this COVID nonsense. About the so-called vaccine, which is horrific. An email question. Do you know anybody that has actually admitted to creating the COVID-19 virus? I know that your documentary is going to be very well documented.
Well, the Wagging the Dog documentary, which has been out for quite a month or so, I don't even remember when I put it out now. So keep in mind, I'm not giving you any theories. What I'm giving you is a nine and a half hour presentation, which is hundreds of hours of actual
preparation.
It's footage of the public meetings, the public forums they had back in 2012, 2014, 2017, and all the information that went along with it, where Fauci himself actually introduces the meeting, and the meeting is where they suspended gain-of-function research. Gain-of-function means mutation. So I'm going to add something to make it more virulent. I'm going to add something to make it more contagious, more resistant to drugs, airborne. I can do whatever I want to do to the actual virus to make it either an added function, a mutation, or a loss of function, and that's why they call it gain of function studies. It's also called dual use research, meaning it can be used for good or bad. It can destroy the world or save the world, depending on whose hands it gets into. And during these testimonies, during these forums, and during it's all the scientists that are actually in charge of this and working towards, these gain of function studies, the basic researchers are there giving their warnings about what could happen. This particular forum was because they halted. They actually stopped that kind of research. It was very public on SARS, MERS, and H5N1. So this particular forum, they mention in there that everything from the Spanish flu, as they call it, which is a typhoid fever, everything from that to all the bird flus, to the swine flu, to SARS, to MERS, to Zika, they're all man-made. They're all, in other words, they're done in a lab.
The Spanish flu, that they call it, actually was a result of a vaccine that they gave to all of these military people. It killed millions of people.
Across the world. And,
yes.
And one must wonder, because it happened with our military, it happened with the Russians, all the military men were vaccinated. Right. And all the military men, of course, were dying. And, you know, I cover that in my first Lethal Injection movie, which was 2011. That whole story is in there. They explain right from the Centers for Disease Control how they dug it up from the permafrost, I think in Alaska, mm-hmm. dug it up. They dug up an old Inuit Eskimo woman and got the original virus from the lungs, resequenced it, patented it, and then shortly after the patent was granted, suddenly we had Spanish flu again,
right.
or swine flu, or whatever it's called. So, yeah, it's crazy, and this is all a patent game. It's all about manipulating it, resequencing, and then patenting it, owning it, so that nobody else can do any research on it, and if it's released, no one can do any cure or anything like that. No vaccines, no nothing, unless they get your permission and pay you because you own
right.
the proprietary rights to a virus. This is insanity, of course, but. That's why I say it's really, we're talking about technology now, because it's biological technology. It's something not natural. And you know that because you can't patent anything that's natural. So go look at the patents for these things. Anything that's patented is not natural.
Right.
It doesn't come from nature. Look up the patents, right? So, yeah, you're talking about, and to answer that question, yes, they admit to all of this. They're talking about it because they have to. They know no one's going to be watching these forums. They're public, but they're not. Nobody can sit through 100 hours of stuff like I do and boil it down to, you know, the important parts and then present it. Nobody wants to do that. You know, I put that on myself. So it's out of their own mouths. Fauci gets up, talks about how he's in charge of making and funding through the NIH all of these projects. So it's government funded. And the worst part is this particular meeting was H5N1, where they mention all this stuff. Highly pathogenic H5N1 can only transfer from animal to human or through another secondary host. And Anthony Fauci gets up and says, this is what we did to make it, you know, we took H5N1, which is already highly pathogenic. It kills 60% of the people it infects. And we added gain-of-function research through adding some type of new ability. We made it infectious to humans. So we no longer has to go from a human to an, or from an animal to a human. Now in the lab setting, it goes from human to human. And now we can study it. Unfortunately, the incidence of lab accidents, lab released viruses is very high. There is, you know, even these level 4 security bio labs, they're it's ridiculous the amount of accidents they have. So, you know, how this was released, why it was released, Anthony Fauci funded the original SARS research and MERS research, and when they banned that type of gain-of-function research, because this particular SARS or COVID-2 was already in the works, they were already doing the research, since they couldn't do an American anymore, they funded it to go to China. And it was held in the Wuhan Biosecurity Level 4 lab. And I'm assuming that's where it was either accidentally released, purposely released. I honestly don't know. I'm not here to fulfill any conspiracy theory about how the thing got released. I can only tell you how it was created, where it was sent to, and therefore probably, like most likely, where it was accidentally released. So they're storing every virus known and unknown to man, everything that has been manipulated to be more infectious, more deadly, airborne, every gain of function, every mutation you can put on, drug resistance has been put on these things, and now they're being stored in these very, very fallible laboratories that say they're high security, but there's no such, humans are fallible. They're not infallible.
Of course.
So this is what they admit. And, the next one I'm going to put out is going to be just the same. It's going to be more of these forums, because I don't expect people to want to sit through hundreds of hours of forums just to get these little tidbits of admissions that they come out with, And so that's what wagging the dog is. You don't ever have to wonder what this thing is, because they tell you. They explain, and I explain, exactly how they do it. I mean, they admit it. And there's Fauci, the guy in charge of it all, and he gets up there with Trump and everybody, and, he never talks about that. He never talks about the fact that he's in charge of making H5N1 already killing 60% of humans, making that infectious from human to human. He never gets up there and says he funded SARS research and MERS research to make it more, contagious and more.
And AIDS. So, he was also involved with the AIDS situation.
So that's another thing that's just coming out probably tomorrow. Is I got the real. To me, it was an honor and a privilege to be invited to do a roundtable discussion with Dr. Judy Mikovits.
Oh, she's lovely.
She's wonderful. And I'll be honest with you, I almost stopped making my documentary, Wagging the Dog, when I heard her for the first time, because she, the first time I'd ever hear anybody talk about everything I just found. I'm thinking I've got the scoop, I've got everything. Oh my God, I've got the whole world, this is it. Everybody's going to be. And then I hear her, and she's the only one I've ever heard. And of course, she's a whistleblower. She's been completely abused by Fauci and all the people involved in this. And let me tell you, these people they're sociopaths. They're psychopaths. They take
no responsibility.
No responsibility for what they're doing, because they have a license to do it. And because government gave this type of research a pass. It's biological weapons research, but they call it peaceful. And, whatever's in the U.S. code that makes it an exception to biological. And in the panel discussion, the guy from Homeland Security that was the representative there, he gets up and he says, hey, if we were to do this type of research in the Homeland Security Department, we'd be charged with treason and with biological weapons manufacture. But because the same research is being done by these legitimate so-called scientists under the National Institutes of Health, where it's funded and regulated thereof, it's not called biological weapons. It's the same exact thing, same exact research. Create a biological weapon. That's exactly what I do, according to this, anybody who works in the industry. Yet these people, Fauci's directly responsible for funding this stuff through the NIH and the organization he works under, the NIH. I don't know what to say other than, Francis Boyle, who wrote the Biological Weapons Act in U.S. Code.
Right.
Where it gives these exceptions. It basically nullified the law by saying, well, it's okay if you call it this and call it friendly and call it peaceful and call it legitimate.
Right.
He says all you got to do is enforce the international Geneva conventions that law came from. But because we're dealing with a completely corrupt, illegitimate government structure, a corporation set up to pose as a government, because we're dealing with something that's not a legitimate government, these agencies are not legitimate. They're corporations created by independent agencies created by Congress. Right? No different than the Federal Reserve. The Post Office, Federal Reserve, and the NIH, they're all the same. Right? They're all independent agencies of government. they're allowed to do things. They're given these exceptions. And so these people who are creating biological weapons, fully funded by government and the military, and then they're posting the instructions on how to do it, right? The papers that they write that say, okay, we did this, we grew this, we infected it with this, we gained a function of this, they're putting that on the internet so anybody can see. Anybody with a decent amount of equipment in their garage can then recreate that viral structure, that you know, it's basically just information, if you will, logical information, reconstruct it, and suddenly you have the same exact thing, and someone can just, you know, terrorist group, a government. It's a biological weapon. It's like putting the instructions for a nuclear bomb onto the internet. I mean, and just say, you know, here, just go ahead. That's what the whole debate was in the first place. Okay, it's one thing to do the research, but then should you share it with everyone? And their answer was, yes, we should. Because we're scientists, and we're of the cult of science and scientism, and we have known that no one should ever halt the progress of so-called science. And when we look, and in that documentary I show it, 75% of scientific experiments are no longer reproducible. They're not doing science. They're creating artificial life, artificial biology, something. All of this gears towards the transhumanist agenda, including this new so-called vaccine. So my opinion, Deanna, and anybody who's listening, if you're female especially, I don't know if this will affect males. I haven't figured that out yet. But if you're going to get this so-called vaccine, then plan on never having children. Period. End of story.
True. I'm kind of following the questions and comments in the chat room, and it doesn't have immediate consequences. People are not going to start dropping over dead. Whatever is in the vaccine is designed to change RNA, DNA, sterilize you, change you. If people were dropping dead all over the place, then of course nobody's going to trust the vaccine. But since there's no immediate consequences that people can really see, they'll have more trust in going along. Right?
It's one of the things I really cover in this new documentary are all these doctors throughout history who are quoted as saying, look, I have all these patients, and of the patients I have, the kids especially that are vaccinated, and the adults, they're all sick. You know, they might not have got the thing they were vaccinated for, but they're five times more likely to have ADD or autism, or 2,000% more to have cancer, this much percent more. The amount of disease that goes on with vaccinated kids, and that's exactly from what we're talking about. We're talking about the body being turned against itself, and that's what this is. That is what sterilization is. Sterilization is an autoimmune response. Now, I'll say it again from my first documentary, the Lethal Injection 1. It's still up there. In the first half hour, we go over how they sterilize horses, and that vaccine is also useful for humans. 90% sterilization rate they had in horses. And all they're doing is injecting a piece of pig ovary into the horse or the human, whatever animal. And because the body recognizes that as a foreign protein, a foreign article, a foreign orthologue, whatever you want to call it, it develops antibodies. It says, well, that's not supposed to be here. Unfortunately, the antibody then sees your own ovaries or your own sexual organs and starts attacking that. It prevents spermatogenesis, and it prevents the female from being able to form, or the sperm from being able to enter the egg. It destroys the sperm or the egg. So, you know, this is the same thing. Now, when it comes to this, when it comes to...
Oh, oops, we're gonna go to a break. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer, it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer, Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer, excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the Red Pill.
Alrighty, welcome back. Our guest is Clint Richardson, and we're talking about a lot of things. It's I was looking at the chat room, looking at questions there, and reading what you were saying. And we're surrounded by people who who really have a very different agendas. And it's very unfortunate.
Yeah, and, you know, unfortunately, the only thing we have, and it seems like the only thing we have left, it seems, is our outlets like this. I mean, in my opinion, we're already defeated, just because, you know, the majority of the population is still completely brainwashed. And a big part of that is this trust in professionals, medical professionals. Any title you get from a university is you know, the prestige, the illusion, the delusion that prestige is a magical term. It puts this false sense of security and trust on these people who have diplomas and credentials. You know, these terms. You know, I did a whole article on the education system and what these terms actually mean, and it's pretty amazing when you etymologically look at what a degree is used in ascertaining a degree of criminal behavior. The degree of crime, you know, it's a degree means you're at a certain degree or a certain ability or a certain licensure to do things that other people can't do. It's, and if you think about what that means, you know, if you have a license to kill, well, you have a license to essentially break the law. Right. So doctors have a license to commit malpractice.
They have a license to do anything. Yes.
Well, mal means evil. Malpractice, evil practice. As long as they have insurance, they can commit malpractice. And there is no penalty. There's nothing. That's the problem with insurance, of course. So you literally have to be, I mean, in my opinion, you have to be crazy to go to a doctor that has malpractice insurance, because you're pretty much giving
the go ahead to kill you.
Yeah, you're agreeing that he has the right to harm you. And that's you.
One of our email listeners said that a lot of people get a vaccine because their insurance pays for it, which is mind-boggling to me. So what if the insurance pays for it? Vaccines have toxic ingredients, but they'll accept it if the insurance pays for it. What kind of thinking is that?
Well, the question that we need to ask ourselves is, at what point are we willing to give up our spiritual moral guidance and say, well, I can't work. They're not going to let me work unless I get a vaccine. They're not going to let me shop. They're not going to let me do this unless I take this transhumanist mark, this RNA that's going to completely screw up not only me, but my children and their children in ways you can't even comprehend, because you're rearranging the DNA into who knows what that's going to do to your active DNA, and then let alone your inactive DNA, right? Which they don't even know what the purpose of it is.
Exactly.
It's crazy. Crazy.
All righty, we are at the top of the hour. We will be right back momentarily.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.